Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Sunday morning. Can you believe that we are one day before the golden age begins, before President Trump takes the crown again? We're in very troublesome times, very challenging times. The world is changing before our eyes. But what have we seen God do in the past year? In 2024, it was the year of transition. And I believe that for all of us, it was the transition into our position. And I remember President Trump's 2020 year and how he had broken it up into four quarters, okay? He broke it up. The first quarter was the revealing, where they revealed the COVID. And the second one was the rollout of the Great Reset. And the third one is where 2024 was. The third rollout was the transition to greatness. That's what he called it. But the last quarter is where we're in now. It's the implementation of it. That is when the V rolled out and they began doing the shots and stuff like that. So that's what I see now, that 2024 was the year of transition, but not only in the world, but in the church. I mean, look what's happened in our ministry since last year. God transitioned from We Are the Bride over to Garden of Eden Ministries. And now it's a new vision with more of an education, preparation, and warfare role in this end time scenario. And you also cannot make it up that the We Are the Bride, when God gave that to me in Bible college, I had no idea that in the end, when they was doing the Great Reset, that their focus would be on We Are blank. We, you know, this is all during the COVID. We are nurses. We are doctors. We are policemen. Yada, yada, yada. And God gave us, We Are the Bride. Bam. And then put me in the White House to represent the bride. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But then in the year of transition, when we are going into the golden age, where, you know, Trump is taking everybody into this new era of the global takeover, which President Biden last night signed another executive order putting the entire government under AI, paving the way for Elon. I mean, you can't make this up. But at the time when all this is happening, God changes the name of our ministry to Garden of Eden Ministries. And then I realized one day, wait a minute. G-O-E-M, Goyim. You can't make that up either. Because the Goyim is the ones that's going to be martyred. In the Noahide laws, that's what they call the non-Jews, Goyim. I'm like, you can't make this up. But I'm going to tell you this. The fear that I had going into Trump's presidency, God took that from me. And I believe he has a lot of you too. Through this 40-day fast, of which we are halfway through it, you know, about tomorrow. We'll be halfway through. And we've been plugging in. We've been going strong. And so, you know, you just can't make it up the way everything is rolling out. So my point to you today is this. we are going into a new area, not in just our country, but spiritually. And we are going in as warriors. God is preparing all of you guys to be warriors in this end time scenario. Each one of you was born for this moment. And we're not to step into this moment in fear. We're to step into this moment with the grace of God. And knowing, okay, God, you called us to be here for such a time as this. Such a time as this. Not a time to fear. But a time for us to say, this is where you're going to show yourself strong. Because this week in our prayer calls, we had some powerful prayer calls this week. We studied 2 Chronicles. One day was 2 Chronicles 20 about a king. And then 2 Chronicles 14 about King Asa. Oh, God showed us, didn't he? That if we will declare that he is God and mean it with every fiber in our being, he will back us up, baby. Yes, he will. He will back us up. He will show us that he's the God of all gods, that he is the God of provision. He's the God of comfort. He's the God of shelter. He is our God. And we're going to have to know that in the coming days. Because Dennis was at a meeting yesterday. And it's a prepper group here in town. While I was live with you guys last night, 7.5 hours. Which was fun. It kind of brought back old memories. But anyway. So he was with this prepper group. And you know, they was all talking about Trump. You know, and they was all excited. You know, he's coming in and everything. And they were saying, you know, Trump's going to get rid of the IRS. And they're all excited. And I'm telling Dennis, I'm like, but they don't know what's on the other side of that. You know, he may say he's going to get rid of the IRS, but it's because AI has taken over and you don't need any mediums. Ain't nobody going to be checking your records anymore because it's all going to be digital and AI is going to be managing you when you step into 3.0. Now, the sad thing is, all these people that went to D.C. so excited about what's happening this weekend, ain't none of them going to get to be with him unless they go to the ball where he's going to be at, because he shut it all down. He brought it all indoors because of the cold weather. And so all them people that traveled up there, spent thousands of dollars and all this other stuff and got hotels, they're going to be put inside of an arena that is going to require you to step into 3.0. This is how diabolical this thing is. They're going to go in and have to have all these checks on them and everything else. It's going to be horrible. But on the news last night, I showed where they were interviewing these people in D.C., and this is what these people were saying. And these were people our age, good Christian people. And they were saying, we don't care what it's going to take this weekend to keep him safe, so we'll do anything. And this is where everything everything has landed. They will sell their soul for this man. And that this is where we're at. So for us, my husband has prepared for you guys an awesome sermon this morning. And I pray in the name of Jesus that what he says goes deep into your spirit, deep into your soul. Because he is talking about the Word of God is our anchor. We're going to have to know this. Okay. And so I'm excited about it. And, you know, today we'll be live beginning at 12. It'll only be about a 6-hour live today, I think. And this one is going to be where he's giving his speech, which you cannot make it up that it's in the Coliseum called the Wizards, where they have the Wizards there. And the fact that they're putting everybody in Web 3 when they enter in, I mean, you just cannot make this stuff up. And the fact that it's the day before inauguration, this stuff has never been done. And did y'all know that Biden picked him up in the Air Force One in Florida and brought him to D.C. yesterday? That's never been done. Because I was live on the news last night when we watched him get off the plane, and I was like, this has never happened before, because usually you're not allowed to ride that unless you are the president. So Biden, and then we listened yesterday to Biden's last speech. I'm not trying to be all political this morning, but it's just where we're at right now. Biden last night in his farewell and everything, you know, he let the world know we are doing everything we can to give a smooth transition. We're being so nice to Trump and his staff, and they have been. But in the meantime, Trump's staff has been helping Biden pass all this stuff for 4 years. So they're working together, and Biden is rolling everything out for Trump and Elon to step right in and mow it down with AI. So this is where we're headed, folks. We are headed into AI world, and this is where we will be pulling out. I don't know if it's going to be a year or a year and a half by the time they get it all set up, but the whole thing is in motion. But the Lord has been preparing us for this moment and for this battle. And so let's all go ahead and pray, and we will get in the spirit. Pastor does have a song for me to sing. And then tomorrow, we will be live at 7:30 in the morning because of the inauguration being so early. And then the same on Tuesday, they have that ecumenical prayer event that they're going to have in the... I think they're going to have it in the rotunda where he says his vows and everything tomorrow morning. So we will not have prayer call tomorrow or Tuesday, but we will on Wednesday and Thursday. No more on Fridays and no more Zoom. So that's the new schedule. And then the new Bible college starts the first week of February. And I encourage any of you guys that are not in it yet to sign up. We've already got people signing up. And those classes will be on Tuesday nights. I require very little because you guys are older and have a lot of responsibility. So the first class, it's already halfway through. Their classes are on Monday nights, and the new class will be on Tuesday nights. So I'm excited about it. It's another identity class. So the first semester, you're learning who you are. And then the second semester, you'll be learning who Jesus is through the tabernacle. And then the third one, you'll be learning who the beast is through logos and symbols. So it's pretty cool. All right, so let's pray and then we'll get started. Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together this morning. And Lord, we know... in the earth, the moment that we're in tribulation and the Antichrist rising and all that stuff, Lord. And we also know who you are. You are the great I am. You are the God of all gods. We do not have to fight this battle. And you have spoken to that to us this week. You have let us know in these prayers. Cause that we don't have to fear, because we're not fighting this battle. You are. When we make you God with a capital G, you will back us up, and we will not fear in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that all we have to do is keep our hands lifted up, praising you in the midst of the storm, putting you on the throne, showing the world who we serve at all cost. And you will be there for us. You will show yourself mighty, Lord, to where their mouths will fall to the floor. You will take care of us, Lord, and the signs and wonders that are going to be seen are going to be amazing. This is exciting times to be living in. We have been praying for 40 and 50 and 60 years to see a mighty move of God in our lives. And the moment is here. We're going to see it in our lifetime. Because, Lord, we want to talk to Moses. And we want Moses to be proud of us. We know, and you've showed us in your word this week again, that the great cloud of witnesses is watching us, and this is what we live for. Even through that man I interviewed Friday night talked about it. The great cloud of witnesses, what you showed me when I was in Washington, D.C., standing in front of the White House, so discouraged about that speech, and the great cloud of witnesses come through, Lord. You told me then, this is why we do things. It's because of heaven is our audience. And who do we want to please but our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And that is you, Lord. Oh, how we worship you this morning, Lord. You are holy. You are just, Lord. No matter what this world says, we know who you are. We honor who you are. We put you on the throne. Lord, I thank you for the bride this morning, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, and all them that rise up against them shall fall, that they are in the army of the living God, and you have went before them. You have prepared the way, Lord. You wrote their books before time began, Lord. You knew what they was going to be facing, Lord, and you knew and know what they're going to need in the future, Lord. So this morning, as the body of Christ, we all come together and say, no, devil. We are speaking to every spirit of fear. We will not come in agreement with you. We will not come in agreement with the spirit of fear. We expel you out of our lives. We reject you right now in the name of Jesus. We cast you out. We are not in agreement with you. And we're not going to let you tickle our ears either. Because we trust in a very real God who split the sea for Moses, who did great and mighty things for David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he will do the same for us. So this is the kind of God that we serve. And I thank you, Lord, that we lift up your holy name. We know in who we trust. We know we can't do any of this, Lord, within our own power. We know what your word says. It's not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, says the Lord. And your word also says when two or more agree is touching anything, that prayer will be answered. And this morning, we're together in agreement that you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the man with the plan. There is no one beside you, Lord. And so we just thank you and give you praise this morning, Lord. You are worthy of our praises and our songs this morning in Jesus' name. And Lord, I go ahead and pray for Pastor today. Lord, you have been dealing with him this week about this word that he is going to release to us today. And our spirits rise up, our flesh bows down, and our spirit rises up to receive what the mighty man of God is going to release into us today. Lord, may it equip us, may it empower us to go forward this week. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now the song that we're going to sing, and I pray I can get the tune right, is called My Redeemer Lives. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. He, my shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe. I'll raise a banner because my Lord has conquered the grave. I don't know that part right there. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. I've lost my tune. I know he rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame he's taken away. My pain is healed in his name. I believe in this beautiful. I believe. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He lives. You lift my burdens. I'll rise with you. I don't know this song, so I'm going to sing another. All right, let's sing another song. I feel like singing How Great Is Our God. All right, so let's sing that one. I feel more comfortable with this one. The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all the sea, how great is our God. Isn't that beautiful? He's the name, oh, age to age, he stands. I've got the lyrics up if y'all can see it. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, and Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God. Isn't this beautiful? How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see, come on now, how great is our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised, Lord, and I thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I thank you for what you're going to preach through with Pastor. And so I'm going to hand this over to Pastor right now. Good morning, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well.
Good morning. You got the floor, sir.
All right. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. I guess I'm going to touch on the little June mentioned about that meeting I went to last night. It's kind of a prepper meeting, and plus, you know, they're all Trumpites, but, you know, they all love the Lord, and that's the most important thing. But it was interesting that, you know, I'm kind of sitting in the background. I don't really say too much, and just listening. But, you know, they were talking about a lot of prepper stuff, you know, about water and, you know, how to keep your food stored and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, well, I didn't think about this until this morning when I was laying in bed. And I was like, why are they worried about prepping? You know, why, you know, I mean, Trump's going to come and save the day.
Exactly.
Exactly. So why are they prepping? You know, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and so why prep? But I'm just, it was just kind of interesting. I had them thoughts, you know, and so, and then again was, you know, June mentioned that they were all excited about the IRS, you know, he's going to abolish the IRS, and they were listening to this guy that was explaining the plan and all that, and I'm just sitting there, you know, didn't say nothing, but, you know, the IRS is pretty powerful. It's going to be hard to get rid of them, but it's all in the plan, so. But anyway, I guess I'm going to touch on a little bit about prayer, and didn't really know how to title this. And it's kind of about our posture while we're seeking answers, you know, in our prayer, and, you know, what we should be focused on, you know, keep our thoughts on, you know, and trust in God's word. And if you want to turn to Ephesians 6, Ephesians 6, you know, is about the whole armor of God. And we all, I'm pretty sure, pretty much know, you know, about his armor. So I'm not going to really read it all, but it's, you know, we're to put on the whole armor of God, you know, the loin belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you know, and above all, the shield of faith, you know, trust in and have no fear, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. But again, you know, verse 6, above all, taking the shield of faith. And that's, you know, above all, that's the most important thing, you know, that we have to have that faith, you know, in our Redeemer. And that's why I had her sing that song, My Redeemer Lives, you know. But there's another piece of armor here that I wanted to talk about. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because, you know, we all have our burdens, and praying for our loved ones, our family members, our children, grandchildren, and, you know, and most of all those prayers are going long distance. You know, they're going across you know, across the country and miles and you know, how can God answer our prayers, you know, all the way across the country? How can he touch people's hearts, you know, it with that long distance? And so there's another piece of armor that he doesn't talk about here, but all the Roman soldiers had. And it's called a lance, or you could say a spear. You know, it's a long weapon, and it gave the Roman soldiers the ability to strike his enemy from a distance. You know, he could throw that lance, and he could throw that spear a long distance, you know, to strike that enemy, you know. And like I said, you know, Paul didn't mention the lance in his list of weaponry, but in verse 18, you know, Paul writes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, you know, our prayer is a weapon. You know, and with the lance of prayer, each believer is able to assault the enemy from a distance, doing him so much damage that he's almost paralyzed in his attempt to come nearer. So there's this lance of prayer. You know, and again, we all have our burdens and our concerns about loved ones who are being deceived and walking down a wrong path, even though they, you know, may be born again believers and tongue talking, spirit filled and everything. But I believe we all see many a people walking down a wrong path. And so we're trying to get our prayers, you know, we have this real burden for these people. And so with the lance of our prayers, you know, we have to trust, you know, our shield of faith to quench all these fiery darts of the wicked that are coming against our loved ones, our family and our friends, you know, and putting him in this delusional state that the world is in. And like I told June a couple times this week, and some of you might not believe this, but I believe United States of America is the most deceived country in the world. You know, so just ponder that and think about that. I mean, look, you know, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear and can see what's going on, if you've got a better idea of the big picture, and that's what I always express to people, the big picture. You know, you're not looking at the big picture. So if we're looking at a big picture, we can see very clearly that so many people are walking down a wrong path. And so we have this burden for, you know, to pray for, you know, our loved ones. But in this verse, I want to break it down a little bit, because it says praying always. You know, and there's other scriptures, which I'm not going to go to, but talk about praying, you know, without ceasing. You know, we're to pray always. Then it says, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So what do we got? We got always, all, and all, and all. We got all four times. And then we have that word supplication twice. You know, with all perseverance and supplication. This word supplication, you know, it's a form of prayer. You know, a call for prayer. and to acknowledge we need help from our Heavenly Father. You know, the term bears a spirit of reverence and devotion with it. You know, it's a solemn prayer to a higher power. Although it is a noun, supplication comes from the Latin verb supplicare, which means to plead humbly. You know, we have to come to our, you know, the Almighty God, you know, our Heavenly Father, you know, to plead our case or whatever humbly with, you know. While supplication is often thought as a religious prayer, it is used 60 times in the Bible. It can logically be applied to any situation in which you must entreat someone in power for help or favor. Still, it carries with it an aura of religiosity and deep entreaty that, you know, and that we should not be used to describe just any simple request. You know, it's just not a, you know, our prayers can't just be, you know, throw out a prayer, pray the same prayer over and over. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, your prayers, you know, you just repeat the same old prayer over and over. No, it has to be a, you know, a humble prayer. It's not just some simple prayer that we're throwing out there. You know, prayer and supplication is part of our armor of God, you know, such as a lance used by the Roman soldiers, that long spear-like weapon thrown a long distance in order to strike his enemy. You know, no Roman soldier would be caught without one. Isn't that interesting? You know, we can't, as soldiers of Christ, we can't be caught without, you know, we can't be off guard without seeking the Lord and praying and you know, even though Paul doesn't specifically mention a lance in his list of weaponry here in Ephesians 6, but, you know, it does say, you know, he suggests praying always. So, you know, supplication prayer should reflect our desire to align our lives with God's will and purposes and for the lives of others we may be praying for. You know, what's it say in Matthew 6:10? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, we have to pray for God's will to come down. So I want to talk about these, you know, supplication prayers. That's what my focus was going to be when I first started this here. But as I went along this week and was just digging what the direction the Lord took me, is just the direction he took me. So I'm just going to share some scriptures that I believe should be strong prayers. You know, we can, you know, we can go to Luke 11 verses 1 and 2 or Matthew 6:10 or, you know, Matthew where, you know, the Lord, you know, it's the Lord's prayer. And it's where he teaches his disciples how to pray. You know, this Matthew 6:10 that I read, you know, it's part of the Lord's Prayer. This verse calls for our Heavenly Father's will to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. It's a plea for the realization of God's will, his perfect order in our lives and in our world. And that's what we want for, you know, our family members and our loved ones who, you know, in James chapter 5, the prayer of supplication for health by and for the sick is mentioned here in James 5, verse 13 and 14. It says, is there any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So there's a supplication prayer, you know, for health. And it's interesting. It says, is any among you afflicted? But nowadays, this affliction could, you know, just back like back then, you know, it could be in many forms. And not only physically, but spiritually. You know? Because why? Because we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, that's not physical. That's spiritual. So many people could be afflicted spiritually. Let's turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, let's go down to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, right there is a weapon of our warfare. Rejoicing in the Lord. Giving him all the praise and the honor and the glory. We can deter the devil. We can cause confusion to the devil when we rejoice in the Lord and give him praises. Psalm 8, I think Matthew 12, talk about out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise because of our enemies. So there's a weapon. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There it is, prayer and supplication. In everything, that's kind of like that word all. So we have to come to the Lord in our prayers, you know, with a humble heart. But let's go back up to verse 5. Let your moderation be known. That word moderation. Here in my Bible, it's they say self-control. Okay? But it means calmness and self-control. Our temperance, which in Galatians 5:23 is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a virtue in Philippians verse 8. You know, let's jump down to verse 8. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. But in Galatians, it mentions that word, temperance or patience, and it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's a virtue. It's part of your moral excellence, is what that word means. Goodness, kindness, Not only that, in the Hebrew, it means strength, ability, and moral worth. So we want our prayers to have power, do we not? So more power, more word, but we need to live a virtuous life with moral excellence and goodness and kindness. In the Greek, that word means any excellence of a person or thing. Dynamis, power and influence. That's where they get the word dynamite. So when we think on these things and we follow the fruits of the Spirit, verse 9 here in Philippians 4, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Is that not awesome? And I'm going to jump up to verse 7. Well, we'll go back up to that verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And verse 7, this is one of my favorite scriptures. This is a scripture that I pray at night so much. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now that word shall keep, I change that word to guard over your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. His word. Amen. So there's some, but that word moderation, it's a virtue, you know, having these things, be thinking on these things. And it's one who masters his, it's about mastering your desires, you know, that self-control, mastering your desires and your passions, especially your sensual appetites, your senses. You know, what are you seeing? What are you looking at? What are you smelling? What are you hearing? You know, you have to master that. You have to control your emotions. And there's lots of scriptures to back that. Acts 24:25, Galatians 5:23, 2 Peter 1:6, where it is named as one of the Christian's graces. The Greek word sophaerion, Titus 2:2, has a meaning sound mind or sober-minded. You know, we have to have a sober mind in these times. And that word goes to that word meekness in Galatians 5:25, where it says control. You know, meekness is power under control. It reminds me of a wild horse, a stallion. Look at the power of that horse, that stallion. But when you put a bridle on him and pull him down, you know, it puts him more under control. That's meekness, that controlled power. And we have to have that. I know I have to work on that. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here again, we'll just read down this quickly. And let's just start on, we'll just go to verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder and a witness of sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, you know, money, but of a ready mind. Pay attention. All the times he's talking about your mind, be sober-minded, ready mind, a willing mind to stand on his word and to be obedient. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Woo! Ain't that awesome? We all got to pray and hope we can wear that crown of glory. It's more talking about the pastors and shepherds that are leading the people, you know, the elders. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. There is that humility, that humbleness. For God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves. Look at humble or humility in three verses here, or in three sentences, or I should say three lines here in my Bible. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Is this not an example of being a supplication prayer? Casting all your care. Not just this or that, but all your cares, all your worries, all your burdens. For he careth for you. Verse 8, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's doing that today, that's for sure. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There's many afflictions out there. Remember we talked about that word. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's our faith. We have to trust in the God of all grace. Amen. You know, we're going to suffer. We're going to go through some stuff. Now, all the Trumpites aren't, you know, because he's going to come and save their day. But that ain't what our scriptures tell us. Over and over, it tells us to prepare our hearts, to get ready, to get right. I mean, it's just amazing. All the scriptures that warn us and tell us, and you know, the watchmen, you know, the prophets, even from old, talk about things that are going to come in the last days. And why cannot they see that? That they think that some man is going to bring us into the new glory age. The golden age is what they're calling it. A lot of these NAR preachers. It's just nuts. But we need to cast our cares upon him, because he cares for you. In Psalm 55, it's a cry against deceitful friends. You know, go ahead and read that psalm today. And David pours out his heart. Then in verse 22, he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You know, in this psalm, David just pours out his heart to the Lord, because all his friends are coming against him, his deceitful friends. But that word sustain means strengthen, support. And again, physical and spiritual. You know, this verse highlights the importance of bringing our specific request before God through supplication, through our prayers. We are encouraged not to be anxious, but instead what? Present our needs, etc., to Him with what? Thanksgiving. By doing so, we can experience His peace that surpasses all understanding. What I just read back there in Philippians 4:7. You know, Father God, I just want to pray right now for each person that hears this message, Lord, that Your peace, Lord, that Your rest that surpasses all understanding, we can't even fathom Your awesome peace. I pray that that peace will just flow over each heart and mind today, Lord, and guard them against the fiery darts of the devil, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, that they will walk in peace. They won't walk to the left or the right. They'll walk forward in that narrow, rugged path, but it'll be a peaceful path, Lord. I just pray You would just pour out Your peace and Your love upon them in Jesus' name. You know, prayer is not just, you know, vain words, but having a genuine conversation with Your Heavenly Father. You know, it's an opportunity to connect with Him intimately and share your heart, your thoughts. When it comes to supplication, we should approach it with humility, faith, and persistence. You know, we are called to pray in alignment with His will, trusting in His sovereignty and wisdom. Supplication plays a significant role in deepening our relationship with our Heavenly Father, growing and trusting as we see Him answer our prayers. And that's our testimony. Amen. Through supplication, we can develop a greater understanding of His faithfulness. And we can experience His love and provision firsthand. Amen. And that's what we want. You know, we want to experience that. In Jeremiah 33, let's turn to Jeremiah 33. And I love going back into, you know, Jeremiah and Isaiah, these old priests and prophets. Anybody can find it. But in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not." How many of you out there want to be shown great and mighty things? Things that we don't have a clue. You know, we can read His word and we can get a really, really good idea. But there's so much more that we just know not. I mean, that's what He's saying right here. You know, Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet. You know, for he's seen the iniquity in the political, moral, and religious decline, you know, back then, culminating in what? The Babylonian exile. He consulted the nation to look neither to Egypt nor to Babylon, but what? To trust in God. You know, not the ways of the world, Egypt. Not Babylon, some religion or political realm, but over and over, you know, they tried to silence Him when he come to Him and was warning Him and pleading with Him. You know, Jeremiah, the priest and prophet, was called at the most unhappy time in history. The final decline was underway. His message sounded more like condemnation rather than salvation. That's why they come against him, I believe. And maybe that's why we have so many people coming against us, as we stand on God's word and the truth and not half truths. You know, his long ministry of over more than 40 years spoke of judgment. The Lord God sent his servants, his prophets, but Israel would not hear. Now the fate predicted for an apostate nation in Deuteronomy 28 and Deuteronomy 30 was inevitable. And you have to go back and read that yourself. We're not going to go there, but you know, it talks about the fate of Israel, what was going to happen. And over, the Lord gave them seconds and third chances and delivered them. It was just freaky. I mean, it's just wild. You know, anyway, read the book of Jeremiah, and you will come to know him more clearly than any prophet. That he hung on so firm to his assignment, his task that the Lord gave him, through years of rejection, persecution, you know. And I pray that that will help us, that will give us more hope and encouragement to hold fast in these trying, difficult times, or to face, you know, the demanding situations in your spirit, you know, in your life today. You know, in a spirit of, in a resilient way. You know, we have to have that resilience. You know, as Jeremiah did, you know, and to the grace of God. Amen. We just gotta, you know, really stand on the grace of the Lord. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And again, you know, there's so many books in the Bible that warn us and tell us to be strong in the Lord and just of the times we're going to be coming into. But here in 2 Peter, you know, verse, you know, 1 through 11 is so powerful. And it kind of goes along the line of the Philippians chapter 4 that we were talking about. You know, to think on these things, these virtues, and growing in grace. Let's go down to verse 1, 2 Peter. And Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. What an awesome prayer he's praying. For grace and peace to be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Accordingly, as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, and having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. There's so much corruption and degeneration in the world today. And here in verse 5, and beside this, giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue. That's that moral excellence that we talked about in Philippians chapter 4. And to virtue, knowledge, God's word. And to knowledge, temperance. There's that word temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So that's why we have to stand on his word. We have to get it, we have to have that virtue and that knowledge of his word. Because, boy, I tell you, we got to have patience nowadays. I really work on that. You know, given diligence and make your calling and election, you know, your relationship with God. We're talking about that. You know, so we don't stumble and fall about all these, the deception that we see all about us. Let's turn to, we're in 2 Peter, let's turn to chapter 3. You know, chapter 3 is about living in the hope of the Lord's coming. And this is so powerful. Again, you know, verses 1 through 8 especially, that ye, verse 2, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So we're to be mindful of them prophets of old, you know, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and others. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world and that then was being overflowed with water perished. And he's talking about the time of Noah. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Do I need to read that one again? That word perdition, the destruction that we see coming upon so many people, because why? They're willingly ignorant. But right here in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, that the day is, one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. You know, time, God don't live on a timeline. He created time. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that should come to repentance. You don't hear that preached much today. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Wow. Now here in my Bible, when I read this years ago, when they were talking and they still talk about global warming. No, here's global warming. The day of the Lord. Not man-made, not man's made global warming, but God's global warming. Woo! Now I'm going to jump over here to verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, you know, he's told, we've been warned before in other scriptures, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. You know, we got to be sober-minded. We got to pay attention that we don't fall away with the error of the wicked. Amen. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 21. And I'll tell you what, this verse, again here, Luke 21. This is about the coming of the Son of Man. And, you know, just start at verse 8 and read on down. Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many, I think we talked about this last week. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not there after them. All these movements are that are claiming Jesus is in it. And God's in this movement. Excuse me. I don't think so. But verse 25 down to verse 38 is more about the coming of the Son of Man. And I think I read this last week. But that there's one scripture I want to come down to. Actually, let's start in verse 38. We're in Luke chapter 21, verse 34. And take heed to yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. They're going to be caught up in some movement. They're going to be caught up in some deception. And this is a warning. In verse 36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the verse I should have read last night at that meeting. I should have given this message last night at that meeting. There were all Christians there. And it was just all about Trump going to come to save the day. Well, how much are we reading here to not stand, not to rely on man or the things of this world, on Egypt, but to watch and pray always that ye may be accounted to escape all these things that shall come to pass? All these what things? Well, we're seeing them, and they're not going to get any better. Amen. But I want to go to verse 25. Wait a minute here. Let's see, where is it? Oh, yeah. Let's go back up to verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, we're going to talk about this verse. You know, and this is about the warning of the times, you know, before we stand before the Son of Man. You know, notice here in verse 25, distress of nations with perplexity. That word distress means extreme anxiety, sorrow, or pain. How many people do we see out there living in extreme anxiety and worried and fear? That's going to be a sign of the times before the Son of Man comes. Perplexity means the state of confusion, bewilderment. Do we not see that? And maybe some people don't even realize. And when I was thinking about this and pondering this, it's like a lot of these people don't even realize they're in that state of confusion because they're so set on some man coming to save the day. They don't even realize the state of confusion they're in. In the Greek, this word literally means at a loss for a way. You know, they're not going the way. And I did a message on that quite a while back about the way. You know, we're to walk in the way of the Lord. We're to walk in the way of His Word. There's a whole message on that alone, the way. But here, that perplexity, the Greek word says it means a loss for a way. This word is describing a condition where we are in a situation but cannot see a way out. And isn't that not the world today? We just can't see the way out of here. We can't see that the IRS, and all this. The only way out they see is some man's going to change it. He's going to get us out of this situation. Ouch, I say. Anyone feeling, seeing this? And then let's go down this verse a little bit. The sea and the waves roaring. Wow. Let's turn to Psalm 65. And there's other psalms, there's other scriptures, but Psalm 65. Psalm 65. You know, and Psalm 65 is about God is powerful in nature. And we know that. You know, this verse portrays God's ability to calm even the most turbulent of natural forces, the sea. Let's go down to verse 3. Iniquities prevail against me. For as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou chosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of the house, even of the holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea. Is our confidence in the Lord God Almighty today? Or is your confidence in some man? Or is your confidence in some system is going to be disposed of, and we're putting it in this other system? All right. No, our confidence has to be in our Lord God Almighty. Verse 6, by which his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. And this is the verse I want to touch on. Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. The tumult of the people. You know. Well, God, our God has the ability to calm and even, you know, even stop the most turbulent natural forces. Remember the story of Jesus going across the lake in the boat and the storm come? That's our God. You know, God has the ability not only to calm and to stop the most turbulent natural forces, the sea, but also human unrest. And it says here, the tumult of the people. You know, these roaring waves symbolizes chaos and unrest, while the tumult of the people represents society disorder and breakdown, turmoil. I remember when I lived out in California about in the 80s, and I, for about a year, I lived in a garage, and I told this story before. Me and my brother moved out there and got an apartment with one bedroom, and we flipped the coin to see who got the garage and who got the bedroom. Well, I got the garage. And I slept that night with the garage door open. We lived a block from the ocean. And at night, you could just hear them waves drop. The power. And that's why it mentions in many scriptures about, you know, he can still up the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves. It's one of the most powerful natural forces there are. Whew. Thank you, Father God, that you still up the noises that are causing any confusion in our minds. They're leading us astray. We just thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Ain't that awesome? Let's turn to Psalm 107. In Psalm 107, and it's such an awesome psalm. You know, it talks about God's wonderful works to the children of men. And when I've read this psalm many a times, I've got it highlighted all over. It's a powerful psalm. But I want to touch on one verse first, and that is verse 29. Now remember, we're talking about how God can silence the waves, the tumult of the people, etc. But in verse 29, he says, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. But it's interesting. The NIV Bible, and this is how they say it, and I thought this was pretty cool. He stilleth the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Do we want the storms of this world to be stilled down to a whisper? That they're not raging in our ears and causing us confusion and worrisome and anxiety. You know, and I just want to encourage everybody to read this year. And it's such an awesome psalm. The very first verse, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Verse 2, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." That's why I had June sing that song, "My Redeemer Lives." And I remember back in the 90s, 2000, when I, you know, first got born again and was going to Grace Christian Fellowship. And one of the awesome assigned songs was "My Redeemer Lives." And I don't know what version, there's a couple different versions of it, but that, I remember that song. It's so awesome. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Amen. "And gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Their minds, their wills, and their emotions. There was no self-control." We talked about that. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." God's grace and his mercies is so awesome. "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to the city of habitation." And here in verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has satisfied the longing soul and filled up the hungry soul with goodness." You know, when we just seek the Lord and trust him, he satisfies our longing souls. Verse 10, "Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in the affliction and iron." In iron, it's like in prison. You're behind the bars. And they might not even be steel bars. They might be spiritual bars. "Because they rebelled against the words of God and contempted the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He saved them again. "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder." He set them free. Whew! Praise the Lord God. Verse 5, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron asunder. Fools, because their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted." That word iniquities is, you know, wickedness. "Their souls abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death." You know, they abhorred the manner of meat, God's word, the truth. Verse 19, "And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." He's saving them again. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." We talked about that. "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Goes back to the ocean, the power. And over again, God's word sometimes is represented by the power of the water. Verse 25, he cometh and he raiseth the stormy wind and lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to heaven. They go down to the depths. Their soul was melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. We're going to see some of this. We're seeing some of it now almost. And they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. There again, the verse again. He maketh the storm to calm, so that the waves thereof are still. There are they glad because they be quiet. Excuse me. Then are they glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of man. Let them exalt him also in their congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. There's that praise and worship. That's part of our warfare, our weapon of our warfare. Now I'm going to skip down to the last verse. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Lord, we just thank you for your wisdom. I ask that you give your children wisdom to observe all these things, that we will understand your loving kindness. But check out this psalm. Four times it says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Four times it says that verse. Oh, that men would praise him, the Lord, not praise some man or some system of this world that's going to get them out of their distresses. But the Lord, our Redeemer, the one who redeemed us from our enemies, verse 2, amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Lord, we just thank you for redemption. We thank you, Lord, that you redeemed us from the powers of darkness. And you're drawing us into the glorious light. The light of truth that will set us free. Amen. We all want to be set free. Let's turn to their last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'm kind of going back to this word. Let's see here. Let's go to verse 8. I should have probably went here before I went to Psalm 105. Excuse me, Psalm 107. But verse 8. Well, actually, let's go up to verse 7. Because this is talk about living by faith. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. So we're standing on God's word right now. We're troubled on every side. We look over here, and we look over there. We listen to this. We listen to Fox News or Max News or ABC or NBC. Everywhere we look. we're seeing distresses, but we are not perplexed, but not in despair. Amen. You know, we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Whew! Ain't that awesome? I was talking with this guy last night, and he was the only guy I talked about some scriptures. And I shared some of these scriptures with them. But the whole night, there was nothing brought up about any scriptures or about standing and trusting in the Lord. But we talked about this, of being martyred, getting our minds, our soul prepared, always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus. What he did for us on that cross, what he did, and he died and rose again, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Amen. So we think about eternity. We're not thinking about what's going on here. It's but a short season. So we have to stand on God's word. Let's jump down to verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe that, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God, to God's honor and glory. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We just thank you, Lord, for the renewing of our mind as we look into your word and you prepare us for what's to come. We thank you, Lord, that we are renewed day by day by your word. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. We have to look to the eternal things that aren't seen. These things that we're seeing now, we can't live in fear. We can't have that anxiety. Right? Because over, and I'm going to, you know, when I was reading this and stuff, and then I go, you know, looking at the context of it and everything, it's like, man, I got to go further and further. And pretty soon I'm reading the whole chapter. I'm encouraging everyone to read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians this week or today, because it's so powerful to build us up to what we're seeing today. And I was sharing that with June. Wow. What I get one verse, but then I read the context, and pretty soon I'm reading the context of the context, and it's just like, you got to read it all. You got to get it all, man, because we need it for such a time as this. But in 2 Corinthians, why do we need all this? Why do we need to be built up in our most holy faith? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As through God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. You know, we're called, and if you read this chapter 5, we're called to be ministers of reconciliation. It's a power, I mean, all of these 1st and 2nd Corinthians, I just want to read it all today for you, but for time's sake, no. But read Corinthians. It'll really help you, you know. And it'll build up, you know, the word of truth by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. That's chapter 6, verse 7. You know, I can just point to all kinds of little scriptures here in Corinthians that just, wow, yeah, we have to stand on that. You know, we have to trust in that. Verse chapter 5, verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. We got, you know, again, looking to eternity. Amen. We're called to be ambassadors. You know, and I just want to read so much of this here. But I'm just, you know, encouraging you to read 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Amen. So we just thank you for being with us today. They're saying we're supposed to get bad weather today and some snow, but to me, it's going to be pretty light. We live in a dome of protection right here on Garden of Eden Farm. That's what we pray and claim every day. And all the big storms that since I moved down here, they're either we're right on the bottom side of a storm that goes across the north of us, or we're on the top side of a storm that goes below us. The other day, or last week, it was the storm went across the north part of us, and we caught the bottom edge of it. We got about 6 inches of white, fluffy, perfect snow, no wind, no storm. It was beautiful. The next day, sunny, shining. And now they're warning us of another big storm coming through, which is supposed to go down on the south side of us. And we're going to be on the top side of that storm. So we just thank the Lord for that dome of protection over our farm. Amen. And I pray that for each one of you that God puts a dome of protection over your land, over your children, over your loved ones. Amen. All yours, Mama.
Yes, receive that, everybody. Yeah. Amen, Miss Carla. I see you over there. All right, let me go ahead and stop the recording. Pastor, you did really awesome today because you was talking about how prayer and supplication is the weapon of our day. Because we talked a couple of weeks ago about worship is a weapon. And right. When you brought that up about that javelin type of, what was that tool called? I'm scrolling.
A lance.
I have never heard that before. Never. That was so cool.
Right.
But it's true though, we can combat our enemies through prayers and supplications. And then for you to end it the way you did, oh, man, you've gotten so good at rounding it all up and kind of sealing the deal. When you laid the final brick to it, basically, and you said, we are troubled on every side, but we are not perplexed. You know that scripture. And then you said, we consider eternity. Because like you said, when you was talking with those people about martyrdom, see, this earth right here is only temporary, but all these people that are trusting in a man want to live. They're wanting this extension of life. They're not wanting to give up the life they have. But the problem is the price they're paying to keep that life. That's what I was saying about the when them guys was talking about the IRS. But here's the thing about the IRS. He may be granting everybody this getting out of taxes deal, like getting out of jail free card. But the deal is, what you're going to receive to get that is the key. You're going to have to go into Web3 to get it. Which means, of course, you don't need the IRS because you got AI. So when AI is there, you don't need the IRS because you don't need any middleman. It is you and AI. I'm going to address Denise over here. I'm going to ask you, Pastor, because she is, I don't want to say upset, but she's kind of got her point. I'm going to bring her on the line. Let me stop the recording here.